This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Adak seems to be the land that time forgot, an island in the Aleutians that once housed over 6,000 people. Today, only about 75 people call Adak home, a haunting backdrop for Ben Huff's photography, part of a new exhibit opening this Friday at the Alaska State Museum. Joining us now to talk about the exhibit, Jackie Manning, curator of exhibitions at the Alaska State Museum. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Ben Huff, the photographer himself, with a long list of photo credits under his belt. Hi, Ben.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Ben, let's start with you. Many of our listeners do know you, but would you please introduce yourself for those who don't?
Ben Huff, local artist, photographer. Second exhibition with the State Museum. I had my last one in, was it 13 or 14, with the project The Last Road North in the old building, and super excited to be in the new space. I think the show looks great, thanks to Jackie and Aaron.
How did this photography project come about? What was the inspiration? Is it something you'd been planning for a long time?
I've been thinking about it for a really long time. Yeah, I kind of stumbled across ADAC in a history book. I think Steve Cohen was the author. It was a three-volume set called The Forgotten War, about the World War II campaign in the Aleutians. This is when, like in 08, when I was living in Fairbanks, working on The Last Road North, which was the last show I showed at the State Museum. The last book had some contemporary pictures of ADAC, and I was just completely struck by this. You know, the pictures were of town, and really struck by this sort of town that looked like, I mean, anywhere in the Midwest that I grew up in Iowa, that was sitting out in the Aleutians, this place that was sort of, you know, mythical and grand. And thought then that would be sort of a really nice next project to follow the project I was working on the Hall Road at the time, and kind of put that in my pocket and talked about it a bit and thought about it a lot and did a bunch of research, but didn't make my first trip until the summer of 2015, finally kind of, you know, realized that notion or whatever it was to, you know, in 08 or so, to plan it and say, this is going to be a thing one way or another, I'll figure out how to make this work. And made my first trip in 15, and then kind of wrapped it up right before kind of the pandemic hysteria hit us all. Hmm.
So what is the story that your exhibit is telling? What do you hope viewers will feel and experience as they progress through?
That's a great question. I think I feel and experience. I love that way of thinking about it. I don't know that there's necessarily something that I'm wanting people to learn. I'm as confounded by the place now as I think I was the first time I went in 2015, right? But it's contemporary pictures of this place that, you know, housed 6,000 people at one point during the Cold War and is now, completely, you know, decimated by wind and rain and the elements, and to be quite honest, vandals who have come through over the years, sort of crossed with these people that have come after the fact, after the Navy moved out in 97 to sort of find the American dream and these these small little ranch houses out in the middle of the Aleutians. But it's also crossed with these archival images from the Alaska State Library and from the Anchorage Museum archives of some of that conflict, submarines. It was a nuclear submarine surveillance island or site during the Navy, when the Navy was there during the Cold War. So there's these pictures of history, these pictures of conflict, these pictures of the reason the island's there, and then these contemporary pictures that are sort of empty and sort of run down and you know, not boom but bust, and I think point to a lot of things and ills and situation that we live sort of in our contemporary world. It's not, it's not end times, but I don't think of it as being, it's sort of our time, but it's not journalism. It's something I hope people can come and sit with and come away with, with something substantial, but I'm not trying to tell them what that thing is, I guess.
What is your sense of what life was like in ADAC during those Cold War years for the people who lived there, the thousands of people who lived there?
The military built it up, right? I mean, there was a McDonald's, you know, there was a bowling alley, there was the only 50 meter or 50 yard, I think probably at the time, swimming pool in the entire state, right? I think if you just sort of had your head down and you were there in town, it probably felt like anywhere USA, right? Like that's sort of the military's job, is to make it feel that way. There was no, you know, actual boots on the ground conflict on the island. So I think it probably felt relatively safe, you know? It probably felt like a very noble, important cause being out there. It's funny. I mean, I could walk around those neighborhoods, and if you don't sort of, you know, lift your head up and catch the horizon line and, you know, catch the other islands that are sort of, you know, just off the shore, sort of neighboring to the east and the west there along the chain, you could sort of feel like you were, anywhere else other than, you know, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I always found that sort of fascinating.
What about for the folks who didn't live in the neighborhood, who lived there before the army came in, who are still there now? What was it like for them?
Certainly there were, you know, there were Aleuts on the along the entire chain, Attu and Kiska, ADAC, who were moved out by the initial World War II conflict. There's not the folks that are living there now. I don't want to speak to everyone that's living there now by any stretch, but I don't think that there is certainly a native, you know, claim to the space, and there's history. Most of those folks are sort of coming back to a place that didn't exist for them during the war years, if that makes sense.
We have an image up on the website, ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, Kuluk Bay Neighborhood, Sweeper Cove, 2017. What can you tell me about that shot?
That picture sort of sums up, I think, a lot of that, of not the military complexes, but a lot of that sort of neighborhood situation. There's one building right in the middle that on the stovepipe, there's this little blue bucket. A friend of mine, Larry Hodge, spends summers out there and lives in that little space. And off to the right, there's a couple of people that lived in some houses that are kind of just out of frame on the right. But for the most part, in all the white house or the yellow houses, excuse me, that are on the horizon, are unoccupied. So of the probably 100 houses that are in that frame, maybe four or five of them have people living there. And even like Larry is just there seasonally. So I'd made a bunch of pictures of the water tower. The hill that the water tower on is the hill that I'm standing on. And I'd made several pictures sort of from that vantage point. That early morning after a snow, that sort of, you know, lack of stovepipe smoke, the lack of any, you know, tire tracks on the street, the lack of footprints, the sort of, you know, you can kind of see the harbor and sort of more, you know, industrial stuff in the distance. There's such a lack of life, which isn't necessarily the case, but the picture speaks to that emptiness in a way that I had taken probably half a dozen pictures at different seasons that didn't quite sort of just photographically, just visually sort of check the boxes.
The exhibit is called Atomic Island, and I understand there will be a book as well. Is that available now?
It's not available yet. No, we hoped so much to have it for the exhibition. It's sort of a casualty of supply chain issues due to the pandemic. The publisher that's publishing the book, FW Books in Amsterdam, brilliant designer Hans Gremmen, has sort of made the book really sort of the true embodiment of what this work really is, 75 or so pictures. But it's held up at the press. It's in queue and will be printed soon, whatever soon means. You know, the show runs through January. It comes down January 29th. I'm really hoping at one point to be able to have the book there at the museum and to have a signing and to maybe have an event. It's available for pre-order. People can kind of get their name on the few copies that I'll have here in town that I can sell out of my studio. It'll be available worldwide through the publisher at some point, but it's forthcoming. That's about the best I can say right now.
So the exhibit opens this first Friday. Jackie, how was Ben's exhibit, how did it come to be selected for display at the State Museum?
Well, every few years, the museum opens up. We accept applications from all over the state, artists from all over the state, and a committee reviews those. And we have for the 2020 through 2023 grouping, we've got a great group of artists, six artists that were selected, and Ben Heff was one of them, and really excited to have this exhibit, because like you said, last one he had at the museum back in 2014, I think he had just got his ticket or was just about to get his ticket to go out to ADAC for the first time. Yeah. So fun to, you know, all this time later, see this work that he's been working on since his last show.
Have you seen the full array of images that Ben has chosen?
Yes, we have. The show is up and lit, and we're working on some last few details, and it's stunning. Like he said, it's the variety and how much I've learned about ADAC. There's just some beautiful photographs. I think the word you said earlier was haunting images. And I think I think it'll be a show that will be really well received, and we appreciate that it's here.
What is planned for the exhibit opening this Friday?
So the exhibit opens at 4 o'clock, and first Fridays are free at the museum. So from 4 until 6, please come and see the exhibit. And then at 6 o'clock, Ben will give a lecture in the lecture hall. We will, due to COVID, we're going to just keep an eye on numbers, and we'll have limited seating in the lecture hall. But if you don't make it in, due to keeping the numbers down, we are going to have that recorded and available on KTO later on. So we'll get that address out as soon as we have it.
Jackie Manning, Ben Heff, thank you so much for talking with me today. Anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
If I could, I just want to plug, Ben is also doing a youth activity on Saturday, November 20th. From 1 till 3, and there's still spaces available. So if you know students that are interested in learning photography, that sounds like a very exciting youth activity that he's going to be giving then. November 20th, you can sign up online at the lamb.alaska.gov/youthart.
That's great, Ben. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks both of you for your time today, and best of luck with the exhibit and the opening this Friday.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
You as well.